Good morning, honorable members and the department, minister and deputy minister. You are welcome to the meeting. We don't have much time today. We were supposed to end this meeting at 11 o'clock. I want to take this opportunity to apologize that starting at 9:15 instead of 9, we had to wait for one member to start the meeting, so we couldn't start being three. We have received the following apologies. Mr. Tolokulu is attending another committee meeting. Honorable Stain struggling to get the flight back. Mr. Kruger attending another committee meeting. Mr. Kappa running late. Mr. Maloyi will be joining the meeting late. Those are the apologies that we have. That's Honorable Kappa. You're welcome, Honorable Kappa. We are now going to hand it over to to the department to brief us on their progress in on the implementation of smart gas fishery policy. And they will actually just update, because we have dealt with the matter of the FRAP 2020, just to update how far are you. So let's start with the implementation, the progress of the implementation of small-scale fisheries policies. You're welcome, Minister Nyathi. You can introduce the...
Thanks, Chairperson and honorable members, TM, DG, and other staff members. I think on this matter, I would prefer that the department or the branch presents, but I'm aware that already we have handed the rights to two communities in the Northern Cape. There are 75 approved. Approximately in the Eastern Cape that have been processed, 45 in the KZN. They are busy doing that. In the Western Cape, there are issues, but the hope is that we should be able by next year, April, to have taken a lot of that work going forward. But I will not dwell with it thoroughly. I will hand over to Mr. Ngong. Who is acting chief director of small scale fisheries through Dr. Saswai.
Good morning, honorable members. Thank you, Chair, for giving us an opportunity. Thank you, Minister, Deputy Minister, DG, and colleagues. The presentation is in the package, and we are going to present two documents which are addendum to the presentation for ease of reference to the honorable members. I'm going to ask my colleague who's the responsible for small scale fisheries to present on the process map, and then he will update on progress per province, starting with Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and the Western Cape.
Thank you very much, DDG, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, DG, colleagues. My name is Abongile Mpongwa, and I'm currently the Acting Director for Small Scale Fisheries Management in the department. My presentation today, as the DDG has indicated, I'll be referencing it on two documents. The first one is the one that is projected on the screen. That is the process flow document. It just gives an overview of the implementation process from when the policy was approved in 2012 up until today, and also projecting what still needs to be done moving forward. So for this presentation, what I will do is that I will go through this document briefly, and then immediately afterwards I will go to the progress per province. Now looking at this document, if you look at your far right of the document, it indicates the phases that we had to come up with. We have five phases. So the first one was ensuring that there is legal framework for implementation of the small-scale fisheries policy. Now, the small-scale fisheries policy was approved in 2012. Before that, we did not have any legal framework, as the Marine Living Resources Act only recognized three sectors, which was the commercial, recreational, and the subsistence sector. Immediately after we had the Marine Living Resources Act, the department then established a subsistence fisheries task group that was earmarked to study how we're going to implement the subsistence sector, which was a new sector in South Africa. And out of that, it became apparent that we need to have small-scale fisheries in South Africa, because it was found out that there was a spectrum between the subsistence and the commercial, and those people were seen to have been marginalized for years. And after the 2005 rights allocation process, The government was taken to court by coastal communities, and out of that there was an equality court order whereby we were compelled to come up with a policy that will address the plight of small-scale fishers in South Africa. And another thing that came out of that court order was that we need to, in the meantime, give limited permits to people in coastal communities, and that was the interim relief that we have currently. But after the policy was finalized, we had to come up with a legal framework. The first thing that we had to do, we had to have the Marine Living Resources Act amended. And that was done, and it was signed off in March 2016. And immediately after that, we had to come up with regulations relating to small-scale fisheries that was looking at how we need to implement small-scale fisheries and how we need to manage it. Then out of that legal framework, we started a process of identifying small-scale fisheries in South Africa. And what we did, we went along the coastline in all communities that expressed interest, and the total of those communities was 316. Out of those 316, in the Northern Cape, 339 people registered. Western Cape, 8,488 registered. In Eastern Cape, 9,709 people registered. And in KZN, we had 4,085 people who registered. All those people were to test them against a certain criteria that is in the amended act, in the regulations, and also in the policy as well. In a nutshell, the criteria indicates that you must be a South African citizen, 18 years and above of age, you must have 10 years cumulative experience in fishing, and on top of that, you need to show dependence on marine resources for your livelihood, and you must reside in that coastal community. Then out of that, many people were successful provisionally, and many people were unsuccessful provisionally, and there was a lot of unhappiness in communities, and that was expected. But we gave those people who were provisionally unsuccessful an opportunity to appeal in the process, and we have finalized the appeals in all the provinces. Now, coming to the cooperative registration processes. In the Northern Cape, we have finalized this process up to a stage whereby we had to register the cooperatives in Port Nolloth and Hondeklipbaai. So the 103 people that were declared by the Minister of Small-Scale Fisheries in terms of the regulations, they were formalized into cooperatives. Those cooperatives were trained on what a cooperative is, and we assisted them to formulate their vision as a cooperative. And then for Western Cape, we announced the final list on the 22nd up until the 26th of October. This final list excluded 9 communities. These 9 communities that we did not announce the final list on was due to the fact that we had a team of process that we had to follow, whereby anyone in communities could look at the provisional list that we had and say, so-and-so is not efficient because of these reasons. So we were compelled to investigate those type of information, and out of that, certain people were removed from the provisional list from these 9 communities. But over and above that, we had to give an opportunity to those people we removed from the provisional list to appeal as well. And hence, on the current final small-scale fisheries list that we have, it's excluding those 9 communities. They will be announced at a later stage. For Eastern Cape, the final list were finalized. 5,335 people were recognized in terms of the legislation. And the next step for us was to go and assist those people in the 78 communities in the Eastern Cape to register cooperatives. We facilitated training as well, and after facilitating that training, we assisted them in registering the cooperatives. To date, 72 cooperatives have been registered in the Eastern Cape. We are just still waiting for 3 more cooperatives to be registered. And then for KwaZulu-Natal, same thing has happened. We have gone to the 45 communities. 2,184 people were recognized, and we facilitated a training program, which was a 2-day workshop. After that, we assisted them to fill in the application forms to register cooperatives. As of this week, we are registering those cooperatives. We have our team at CIPC as of yesterday and today to register the cooperatives. Our aim is that by the end of this month, we should have all the cooperatives registered in KZN. Then in terms of the rights application process, One thing that we had to do, we had to put certain measures in place. First of all, we had to develop a rights application form. This was an important step for us, considering some of the reasons why we were taken to court in 2005. Some of those reasons was that our processes were too complicated for fishing communities, and in essence, people were forced to consult with lawyers and accountants in order for them to have an opportunity to compete with other big companies in the rights allocation process. So that's why we had to create an application form that was going to be easy to understand, and an application form that was going to be in line with the constitution of the cooperatives that we had registered on their behalf. That has been done, and also the issue of fee structure, seeing that this is an entirely new sector, we had to come up with a fee structure for the new sector. And in last year in June, we consulted in all the coastal provinces on the proposed fee structures, and out of that process it became apparent that the communities were not in a position to give meaningful inputs, because by then they did not know what would be in the basket of their rights, and hence the Honourable Minister exempted the centre from paying any fees for the next three fishing seasons, so that they can, the cooperatives can be stable and they can be able to meaningfully contribute. Then within these three fishing seasons, the department will do another consultation process when these cooperatives should be having fishing rights to be able to meaningfully contribute to what should be a fee structure for the new set. In addition to that, the honorable members might remember that sometime last year, we had proposed a three-year duration of the fishing rights under small-scale fisheries, and there were inputs that were given by communities indicating that we need to reconsider the 3 years. The minister has reconsidered that, and there will be 15-year fishing rights for the small-scale fishing sector. This has been effected in the Northern Cape when we allocated 15-year fishing rights. Rights allocation process, as I've indicated, in the Northern Cape, and the minister has alluded to this, there are two cooperatives in the Northern Cape that have been allocated small-scale fishing rights for 15 years against a zero fee, and these fishing rights were allocated on the 28th of September 2018. For other provinces, we still need to follow the processes that I have just outlined. Those processes have only been followed by the Northern Cape cooperatives at this point in time. Now, as soon as all the fishing rights have been allocated in all the provinces, the biggest work that we still need to do as the department is to facilitate support programs. And the reason why this is the case, we have conducted a socio-economic baseline study for small-scale fisheries in South Africa, and it indicates that we need to give support to these cooperatives in order for us to ensure that they are sustainable. There are issues of low literacy levels in coastal communities. There are issues of poverty in coastal communities. There are also other issues that are related to issues around infrastructure, and hence we need to facilitate support programs. One of the things that we have done was engaging with the other national departments, provincial departments, and local municipalities to ensure that there are support programs that we can facilitate. And I'm happy to announce that in most of the municipalities in KwaZulu-Natal and Eastern Cape, we have engaged with them to an extent that the number of municipalities that have included small-scale fisheries for the first time as part of their IDPs, which gives us an opportunity as the department to tap into some of the resources that the local municipalities have. And one other program that we are looking at is to implement a mentorship program in all these cooperatives that we would be registering. We want to make sure that there is a mentor for each and every cooperative that will be there, and the role of the mentor is to ensure that there is transparency within the cooperative and there's improved cohesion within the cooperative and from one cooperative to the next, and also assisting in the basic administration of the cooperative over and above the training programs that we'll be facilitating as the department. And then the last step to this, which will be an ongoing phase, is managing the sector. We need to come up with ways of how we're going to do permitting, because we're coming to a new sector, and we have been doing that. And then in terms of the small-scale fisheries policy, one of the pillars is the common management approach to fisheries management that we still need to implement, and also monitoring the policy itself. The policy has specific objectives, so we need to monitor those objectives, and we need to see if we will have to amend the policy moving forward, depending on what the outcomes are on our monitoring program. And lastly but not least, also contributing to international engagements and implementation thereof. So if the Honorable Chairperson can allow me to jump to the next document that outlines the progress per province. Okay. As project heads there, the document indicates the milestones on your file left, and then other columns are representing the four coastal provinces. And then it's color-coded, where there is a color green indicates that the activity has been concluded, where the color is orange indicates that the activity is in progress, and then the red color indicates that the activity is yet to be done. Now, this document is in line with the five phases that I've indicated on the previous document, and it gives indication of how far we have gone per province. So what I'm going to do, if the chairperson allows, I'm just going to skip through the red that we have presented already to the House, and then I'm just going to quickly go through the activity indicating small-scale fisheries, fee structure and duration of fishing rights. As I've indicated, that activity has been done, and it was completed in September 2018, and the next step was the approval of the final list of small-scale fisheries. As I've indicated, this has been done for the Northern Cape in November 2017. For Eastern Cape, it was completed. For Western Cape, it was completed in September 2018. And as I've indicated, there are nine communities that have not been announced because of the type of information that we had to work on. For Eastern Cape, this was concluded and signed off in January 2018, and so is KZN as well. And then the co-op training, as I've indicated, this has been done in the Northern Cape, and in Western Cape, this is outstanding. As much as we have the final list for Western Cape, and we are in a position to go out and do the training program and start with the registration of cooperatives in the Western Cape. But from our analysis, considering that there's a West Coast rock lobster season that is about to start, chances are we are not going to get all the people that we need to get in communities, because they'll be busy fishing in this lobster season. What is tricky about this as well is that all the members that have been recognized as small-scale fishers, they are mandated to be present in these meetings when we do training and when we do the signing of the documents to register cooperatives. So our plan is that we are going to wait up until the lobster season ends, and then immediately after the season ends, then we will go to communities. But this only applies to communities that are within the West Coast rock lobster fishing areas. In the Western Cape, still there are communities that are outside of the lobster fishing areas, communities like your Strays Bay, Still Bay, all the way up to Mossel Bay, George Naisna areas. So we will go to those communities. Hence, our targeted time frame there is from November 2018 up until June 2019. Then for Eastern Cape, we have completed the training program as I've indicated, and this was done in June 2018. For KwaZulu Natal, this was concluded in March 2018. And co-op registration, Northern Cape, it has been completed. We are foreseeing that in the Western Cape we will have co-op registration documents or certificates with us by August 2019, and in the Eastern Cape, as I have indicated, 72 cooperatives have been registered to date. We have three outstanding cooperatives that we still need to get their certificates. And in KwaZulu-Natal, as I have indicated, we are planning that by end of this month, we should have all the cooperatives registered in the Northern Cape. And this is in progress as our team is in CIPC as we speak today. The rights allocation process, it is completed in the Northern Cape as I have indicated. And then in Western Cape, we were saying that we'll be able to allocate, to complete allocating rights in October 2019. And this is subject to cooperatives being registered and by laws being adopted by the cooperatives in the Western Cape. And in the Eastern Cape, we have started the rights allocation process from the 29th of October, whereby we are going to have two phases to it. We have started with 33 cooperatives that have been registered, and this process started on the 29th, and it will be concluded on the 15th of November this month. And immediately after that, we'll receive those rights application forms and we'll assess them, and then we will be in a position to do the rights allocation and present them to the communities. For this process in the Eastern Cape, we have set aside 3 days for each and every cooperative that we have been going to. The purpose of that is to present to them their co-op registration documents and the certificates from CIPC, and also to hand over the rights application forms and sit down with them and explain the application form and facilitate for them to have all the necessary supporting documents like your certification of copies of IDs and all of that. So we have communicated SAPS as well in some municipalities to assist us to commission some of the documents that needs to be commissioned. And then lastly, in KwaZulu-Natal, we foresee that we'll start doing what we are doing in the Eastern Cape currently in January 2018 up until August 2019. Then, as per the normal process, once we allocate fishing rights, we need to open an appeals process. In the Northern Cape, since we have allocated rights, the appeals process will be concluded by December 2018. And in the Western Cape, we'll conclude it by December 2019. In Eastern Cape, we'll conclude it between January 2019 to September 2019, as we are going to have a staggered approach in rights allocation in the Eastern Cape. Then in KwaZulu-Natal, we will finish the rights, conclude the rights appeals in November 2019. Thereafter, as I've indicated, we have been facilitating support programs, and this is going to be a continuous thing, at least for the next 5 years or so, up until the cooperatives can be able to operate on their own. And after that, we'll provide basic support to cooperatives as we do with other entities that have fishing rights. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. That was the presentation. Most girls share it. Honorable Sandale, Honorable Materi.
Yes, we are first dealing with the first, I just want to see quickly. You talked about the cost, the socio-economic benefits, what was that one? You said about the socio-economic studies that has been done. Has a cost-benefit analysis also been done to see what the minimum quota for a person and that of a cooperative is to be able to sustain itself? I mean, you are giving quotas from people that are already making a meager life out of it, and you are giving it to a bigger group. And how is this going to affect it? It seems like you are spreading poverty just thinner, you know. Has that been done, and when will the committee be able to see those reports and interact with it? And then I wanted to know, I've run a little in advance with my questions on the other presentations as well. Yeah, a lot of promises has been made by the department and your predecessor's minister on on the quotas that are going to be allocated and the life that would be derived from that. You know, and we've been asking all these questions for a couple of years, where's all this fish going to come from? Because we can see that the fish is not enough for everybody to go around. So we would want to know, you know, have you any idea how to accommodate all the fishing people? And from the start, I want to say thank you very much, Minister, for listening to the plight of our small-scale fishermen. These people have been left alone for a long time, and they are suffering tremendously. And with the new cuts that are there at the moment, it is also hitting them very hard. And I would like to know if we have plans in place to assist them, because if you have a living wage quota and it's halved, then obviously you can't survive from it. And do we have plans in place for that? These are just some of the questions I want to ask on this presentation, and then we go on to the others. Thank you.
Honorable Matenda. Thank you very much. Good morning. Minister, DM, DGG, everyone, all the officials and all of us. Chair, first of all, I wish to present, to indicate or identify the 9 communities that you have referred to, Chair. My second one would be the baseline socio-economic study. I can't remember that the committee have been appraised about the study, if that study could be made available to us. Gonzalo they raised the issue of the economic impact together with that study. Chair, thank you. Also, the issue of the support package, what does that entail, Chair? I think it's important the department take cognizance of the fact that that support would be required in relation to infrastructure investment, skill development, training, etc. But what is the total package put together? What is its budgetary value? When will it be rolled out? I think it's important that we understand Chair. Chair, I am in a constituency that have how many 5, if not 6 fishing communities, Honourable Minister. It's not a easy task to service that community. I'm happy to hear straight by being identified. I would have loved to hear more identified, Chair. There are extreme poverty, there are extreme unhappiness, Chair. The issue of the criteria has been raised in relation to 18 years, 10 years dependence on the sea, resident in the area. But I'm told there is an additional criteria that are being applied that impact very negatively. And that is the issue of age. You are not, your rights have been taken away if you are 65, Chair. So that is a major concern, especially for those who have invested, Chair, that when they reach that age, they must either die and over to their family. They can't. That to me, Honorable Minister, gives one impression about it. It looks like, sounds like discrimination. One really would want Minister to really look at there's also this discrimination that relates to you're not being able to, if you
and you are small scale and you are not able to use it up, then it will be held against you. But the same tool are not used when it comes to the offshore, to the big ones. Let's say if they do not use up all the tonnage, they are just allowed to continue. So what is good for the goose must be good for the gander, as one can put it like that. So those are issues that one is confronted with on a regular basis. And one does not have the answers for that. And one is extremely exposed on the ground. An additional issue is the question of access, DG. People are saying for them to do business they must come to Cape Town. They must borrow money to come here, and when they arrive here then the official with whom they have made an appointment is not there, it's not available. So it is money that went down the drain. They are sitting with their debt now, and here they are not being able to assistant. Is there no way that resources in relation to service delivery can be brought closer to our people? You know, this is something that really must be considered. All departments, in actual fact, tries to ensure that the services they render to the communities are closest to the communities. The accusation is that Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries is one of those departments that doesn't do that. Yet they interact with communities who are extremely poor, marginalized, but they expect those people to come to Cape Town to be attended to. Let me stop there. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mandela. That is good.
Thank you, Chair. Just a small one, and I also thank the presentation. Maybe it's just a clarity on this part of which just a little bit worries me, where it is a subject. I know the time is too long, also it's too far, that is in 2019, but now when it is also subject to the registration and the laws being adopted and the bylaws being adopted, does it mean that there's a possibility that these laws, these bylaws may not be adopted, or they might take long to be adopted, and that which would affect also the process? That's what it means on these areas that are red. And then lastly, Chair, I think this information is quite useful. I know that this report is about the implementation of the policy, but I would be happy if the department will remember in future that all this useful information will, at the end of the day, contribute towards the information which is not necessarily required now on the job creation and on this cooperation with the cooperative, the Department of Cooperative and Small Business, because a lot of work is here, a lot of that is here, is quite very useful for such processes. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I think it was on 2017 November, whereby we had a meeting with the DAF. On that particular meeting, we raised a concern at the committee to say that the youth in the small-scale fishing community is not properly considered. And in response, the
department said to us, no, it's going to provide them with bursaries for marine-related studies. So my question is how many youth have been allocated with such bursaries? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mpanga. That was a very good reminder for the department. I think let's acknowledge that since 2012, the small scale fisheries have been waiting, and we want to acknowledge this progress. But the progress that should make our community celebrate, because we would have sustainability, and my take would be on the sustainability part in terms of the support structure and availability of resources to support the cooperative. In that meeting that Honorable Mapanga talks about, we're talking about allocating rights for cooperatives. It's not enough if they don't have the support to process and the market. So the question that I'm having, as we celebrate this progress, these cooperatives, they have the market, who's going to process this fish for them, and how are they going to benefit out of this process? The other issue is on the Western Cape. Though we acknowledge that we won't rush the processes, but again, the process is slow. You know, when you give other people sweets and the others you are saying, I'm going to see in next Christmas, you are saying they must fight, and there will not be a stability in Western Cape. And Minister, we would want to see the situation where we should not say we are going to allocate to them in December and therefore start to that. We must do the work day and night. If we have to take the process closer, we must do that. So I think that is very important. But the last thing would then be, as Honorable Mandela is raising, the question of recording of job creation, because all these things we are doing it precisely for job creation, empowerment of our people, building entrepreneurship. So what would then be the outcome at some point? Minister, you can respond, and your team.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks. I think the questions can be dealt with by the team. But I cannot say that the same sentiment or same views expressed, we have discussed them to say there is a need for more push. We say in the Western Cape, where there are no issues that may impede the allocation, we should be doing it. So we don't wait until everything is done. Hence, the staggered approach we thought should be applied in the Eastern Cape and KZN. You don't wait until everybody has been cleared, but you don't penalize those who may have, because in the Western Cape, it was the issue where after allocating or after you have verified, people come and say, by this person we have allocated, a small scale, is a teacher by a profession, or is a police. So you cannot overlook that. But those are issues. I take the point that overall, the call is for us to fast track the program, to make sure that our people, as well as to quantify, and I'm sure we need maybe to present thoroughly in what form would this support be, because what has been happening with small scale has been that there are people who are queuing or who spend their time lingering around those areas where small scale takes place, and they buy the fish for peanuts and they take it for processing. Where a fish would be maybe be worth 500 rands, they buy it for 90 rands, and because people don't have a place even to store it and freeze it in a freezer, they have to sell immediately because it's going to rot. There will be a number of off-spins when this is done properly. I think the team can better, because if you're a small scale fisherman, you need access to ice cubes, because immediately you catch that fish, you should put it in ice to avoid it rotting. And those are going to be job creation, and the scale of how big that's going to be will be informed. I'm not in a position to, but I'm saying those are kind of off-spins. And I think the other question is the question of youth and how do they benefit in all this. But I think the team is better placed to take the answers. I was just saying on the issue of how to fast track this program, we have agreed, although we are aware that there have been lessons learned from the Northern Cape, which I think will give the team, and we have said they must work with the provinces for other skills that they may need. Thanks.
Chief, if I may, Chairperson, thank you for the questions and the inputs from the honourable members. I think the important thing that we must also do is to present a baseline study which informed the position that we are taking. I think we need to take the honourable members through that so that they could see exactly what informed our approach to what we're doing. And secondly, the question of the package of support that the post allocation support that we are going to give to the small scale fisheries. I think it's also important that the members should be appraised of them, and that support should evaluate its impact as we go along. Right, because it's one thing to say where we are, we think this type of support is going to work, but again, all types of support and programs that we put, we must evaluate them on the ongoing basis to see what is working and what is not working. I think other members definitely will need to come back and present those.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Minister and Deputy Minister. Just to add, I think Minister and Deputy Minister have already touched on some of the questions. There was a question asked with regard to youth, and I think the department is really committed to ensuring that we do support youth. We have a bursary scheme in the department to support youth in different areas of study. For fisheries, we also support students at undergraduate and postgraduate level in areas of aquaculture, oceanography, and fisheries science, including fisheries economics. We also do have international opportunities for students who go overseas to study, especially postgraduate. We have those that are in China, for instance. But over and above, we do have an internship program that targets youth. For instance, in the branch of fisheries, we have more than 30 youth that we house annually as interns, learning the ropes in different areas. And they are also exposed to the work of industry, as some, especially in the aquaculture industry, are placed at different farms and farming establishments. But I would like to ask the DDG who has recently joined us to also add a word or two, especially on some of the support programs and linkages of small-scale fisheries to markets.
Thank you. Morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Minister, Deputy Minister, DG and colleagues. I will just deal with this issue of linkages to markets and perhaps deal also with the matter that was asked by Honorable Van Dalen with regards to where all this fish is going to come from and what then happens with the availability or the less apportionment of fish that fishermen find themselves having. Let me deal with the issue first of resources and linkages to the markets. The reality is that of the four coastal provinces, the Northern Cape and the Western Cape are better advantaged than Eastern Cape and KZN. Because traditionally, or traditional fishers have been in the Northern Cape and in the Western Cape had a better access to facilities. So that's why you find harbors within the Western Cape. Northern Cape, you used to have companies that used to operate their fishing industries. But of course, because much of the fish has moved further from the Northern Cape, further down south, some factories closed there. And also the issue of mining when it comes to Northern Cape, then that then reduces the fishing activities. So there's a study that we did, we undertook as a department, you'll correct me, Abongile, I think it was 2014, where we did an analysis of the infrastructure that is needed. As Minister was indicating, if fishermen catch fish, they need to be able to work it out, clean it, chill it, whether with ice or whatever. So we did an analysis throughout the four coastal provinces to see what infrastructure exists way and what infrastructure is needed to assist the fishermen. So in that study, we found, as I'm saying, it confirmed that Northern Cape and Western Cape are better off than the Eastern Cape and KZN. So we focused on KZN and Eastern Cape. Subsequent to the visits that Minister had done in those two provinces, projects and the focus that was done around Kwasokhulu in north of Durban, around Richards Bay. And another focus was around the Wild Coast, where we were looking at what can be done. But the reality is that you cannot be able to expect people to market their fish if they have not caught that fish in a manner that is going to cause them get a price. So how you catch your fish has everything to do with the price of the fish. So now we observed what they're using. They use traditional, very traditional methods of catching the fish. They actually even grab it with their own hands, and when it comes to the lobster, for instance, they squash it so much that the shell is so broken, by the time they sell it, the value is not that good. So one of the things that we then did was to look outside of ourselves, because we've been saying as a department, we cannot be able to be absolute. We need to look and search for partners. And in particular, we found a partner of an international company called the International Pole and Line Foundation. And I would really plead the honorable members to go read about this organization, because unfortunately it has been vilified and portrayed to be something that it is not. The International Pole and Line Foundation does work of encouraging and developing small-scale fishing in all over the world. They are working in Mexico, they are working in the Atlantic, they are working in the Indian Ocean, they are working in Seychelles. So they got an interest to assist the small-scale fishers in South Africa. But the issue, as I'm saying, where do you begin? So we started projects in Kwasokhulu and projects in the Wild Coast where we said, let's first look at the equipment that they can use that can assist them. That's one. Two, we said we don't know the extent of the distribution of fish in that part of the ocean, because all the research that we do is focusing on the West Coast. We don't do research surveys on the East Coast. So we partnered with universities, the then University of Transkei, I forgot the new name. I only know the old names. But UNITRA, Rhodes University, Nelson Mandela University, Fort Hare University, they form a part of the group of universities that have partnered with us so that we get honor students and master students that are going to observe these communities when they are now using this new equipment. So this organization donated the equipment for these communities, something I think needs to be applauded. But unfortunately, as I say, it has unfortunately been made what it is not. And I would really encourage the honorable members to look at that. We can provide reports of what is happening there. With Sokolu and Richards Bay, they've also been given equipment so that we try out this equipment because we want to see the efficiency of the equipment, because if you're going to talk markets, you need to talk volumes and you need to talk consistency. You cannot come to market and say, I've got four lobsters today. Tomorrow, oops, I don't have anything the other day. So we need to be able to ensure that there is efficiency in the way they catch, and we need to know what the estimated abundance of that fish can be. Only then we can talk about how do you then process, how do you then link markets to that. But I can also indicate, I'm not sure if Abo, you have indicated the partnerships we've done with Woolworths, for instance, South Africa, who have agreed that they will buy all the fish from the small fishing communities, but of course they need it in good shape, they need it to be there consistently. So those are the projects that we are trying out to see how we can do this, and we are still looking for more partners as we go along into this thing. Coming to the issue, Honorable Van Dalen, where is this fish going to come from? I think honorable members will recall the other time we indicated when we were talking about the empty basket that it will never be full, unfortunately, because this is a natural resource. It is limited. Hence, we want to look at alternative livelihoods so that we say people must not just be dependent in catching only the fish. We look at issues of net repair and other activities that can happen within the harbors, including aquaculture, so that you kind of find a way of augmenting and have a combination of activities that can assist the people in so doing. Absolutely, the issue of TAC reduction is a very big problem. It's a challenge, and I think government and the department cannot just be left alone to see what else can be done. And hence we are expanding our scope and discussions that we are having, including other government departments, by the way, for other activities that can happen within the communities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Maybe just to add on what has been indicated, the purpose of the socio-economic baseline study was to have a profile of how these communities look like in terms of the social aspect and the economic aspect to it. And out of that, I think it gave us more information about how we should be approaching the communities. One typical statistics that I can take out of the study indicated that 50% of the income in these fishing communities comes from fishing directly. And it also indicates that majority of these communities, they are within the poverty line, which is 1,558 rands. That means on a monthly basis, each fisher is only able to get about 750 rands. And out of that, it also indicates that 46% of the total monthly income comes from government grants. And from that, it also indicates that an average age of a fisher is 44 years of age. That means, in essence, chances are that 46% of a government grant comes from child support grant who is not a fisher. And also, in essence, it means that the child support grant is used for something that is not supposed to be used for. So it tells us from our side as the department, we need to increase that 50% that comes from fishing. So the 50% itself has to come up in order for the other balance to go down. The only way we can do that is to give proper access to cooperatives, but most important is to add value to what they can access. As has been indicated, we've been working with a number of parties that are assisting in support programs. One of them is the department working with a non-profit organization by the name of Abalobi. Abalobi is an organization that has developed an application system whereby fishers can sell directly to restaurants. And this has been taking place for the past 3 years. in Lambeth Bay and is traced by specifically those communities have been working with that organization. As we speak, they are selling one of the species that are known to be low valued, which is your Cape Bream in Lambeth Bay, and they have tripled their price because of just being able to access directly the markets without going via any middlemen. As we speak, over 33 top-class restaurants in the Western Cape are buying directly from those communities. So initiatives like that, they will assist these cooperatives moving forward. Because the most important thing in the value chain of smoking fisheries is being able to tell the story behind the fish that they catch. But at the same time, as Tesla indicated, you cannot really do that if you don't have the proper infrastructure. Hence, we have tapped into the municipalities. Because once the municipalities include small-scale fisheries as part of their IDPs, that means there will be resources attached to those. And the municipalities have been overwhelmed with the program that we have presented to them, and there are a number of commitments in a number of municipalities in ensuring that there is proper support. But over and above that, as much as we have identified general support programs, each cooperative will differ from the next cooperative. And that's why in terms of our rights allocation process, it's the cooperatives that will indicate to us what species do they need to catch and what type of support programs do they need in order for us to facilitate those support programs. And we've also engaged with World Bank as well to give us support in the program. And National Skills Fund, the Department of DAF, has been granted funding from National Skills Fund, and a portion of that funding is coming directly to small-scale fisheries to further capacitate small-scale fisheries. And then with regards to Honorable Mandela, you wanted to find out the 9 communities that have been affected by the tip-offs. The communities are Saldana, which is Dyersville, Turin Bay, Lambeth Bay, Anniston, Bretterstorp, Austin, Atlantis, Ocean View, and Strand. So those are the communities that have been affected by tip-offs. Maybe also going to Honorable Kappa's question for clarity, when we indicated that the progress for that particular province is subject to co-op registration and bylaws adopted. Now the CIPC, they have their own specific requirements before they could register cooperatives, and it is a tedious process if you look at how the communities are structured. There are a number of forms that they need to fill in, they need to appoint auditors, they need to do all sorts of things. And if you cannot appoint an auditor, you need to apply to be exempted from being audited as a cooperative. So we had to make sure that all these communities, they comply with those strict requirements. But unfortunately, in some of the communities, in some of the provinces, you'll find out that out of 50 cooperative documents that are submitted, only 20 go through, and then that also gives us those delays. But in trying to counter that, we have spoken directly with CIPC and indicated to them that this is a government initiative. There are certain requirements that we may not be able to meet, and they have accommodated us in that regard, and some of the cooperatives have been registered. For an example, there is a CR1 form that should be signed by everyone, and there are affidavits that needs to be made, and the communities were not in a position to do all those things. So when we explained that to CIPC, they accepted that, so we are registering. Now, coming to the issue of the bylaws, now, as soon as the cooperatives are registered, the cooperative itself needs to sit down, they need to finalize their constitution as a cooperative. And as part of the constitution, there are certain bylaws that we have included there that they need to finalize. The reason why we have included those specific bylaws is because they're coming directly from the small scale fisheries policy, but they could not be included in the act itself and also in the regulations because of how the legislation is written, and also the fact that the policy itself, it's broader than the mandate that we have in terms of the Marine Living Resources Act. So we had to include certain bylaws in their constitutions. Now it's up to them to finalize those bylaws and sign them off. So some cooperatives might take longer for them to finalize those bylaws. Some cooperatives might take less, and of which that particular document, which is a bylaw, it's one of the supporting documents that they need to attach as part of the rights application form. So without that bylaw, we cannot process any rights. Hence, our progress is subject to that particular document. And then maybe also tapping into the issue of the access to these resources. Fortunately, the Northern Cape gives us an example of how other provinces might be. If you look at the basket of the Northern Cape, we're of the view that that basket, it is sustainable, but it's subject to how the cooperative is going to action the rights that they have, because they have a specific area that has been set aside for them for seaweed. They have a portion of a Haken line, of which Haken line has been allocated to small scale directly. They have a portion of West Coast Rock Lobster offshore, and they have a portion of West Coast Rock Lobster near shore as well. And then there are also other species that they have. When we are in a position to allocate abalone dredging rights by, I think by year 2024, we will allocate ranching rights for the Northern Cape and also for other cooperatives in other provinces that might want to be involved in abalone ranching as well. So what I'm trying to indicate is that there are certain species that are key that we have set aside, or a portion of them we have set aside for these cooperatives. But the most important thing, as it has been indicated throughout, is the issue of support programs that we need to make sure that it takes place. The biggest challenge that we might have from our side as the department is that the directorate that is responsible for small-scale fisheries along the coastline of South Africa has only 7 permanent staff members, and we are thinly stretched. We are trying by all means to cover as much as we can within the time that we have, and we do acknowledge that we need to move faster. So we need to be innovative from our side and pull other resources from outside of the department. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you. Can you switch off your mic? Honorable members, that was the answers of your questions. And you follow up, Honorable Mandela, I see your hands, and Honorable Van Damme. So, and let's come closer to closing, because we must end this meeting at 11. I think what is important are the issues that we've raised, that we need, because we cannot rely on, you know, human beings that are there who understand what they must do. So, because if tomorrow you die, the information might go. I'm not saying you're going to die. I'm just becoming reality. The policy framework and the bankable business plan would be very helpful for those that come after you to continue with the work. So I think that is very important. Honorable Madeno.
I think it's just two small things. One is the concern with regard to the human resource available in this important section 7. It's actually a problem. Certainly the TG and Minister, this is an area that needs to be strengthened. They can't continue to be under resource. It's no wonder there's such a huge negative feeling and a lot of accusations leveled against staff. It's precisely because they can't get to everyone in time. You know, that's why people are making accusations. So, just in terms of as the DDG raised, one is always concerned if you partner with international bodies, and a part of the, I do not know if it is a condition of the MOU, is that everything that you harvest must go to them, they buy it from you. That actually prevents you from creating industries, etc. You can't create a factory, a processing factory, because whatever you harvest it's already shown, you know. Now those areas are a bit of concern, you know. We have this in the mining where there's no beneficiation. Everything that is taken out, it comes back processed at the expense of price. We can't allow that these things happen in fisheries, especially Comrade Minister, under your words, that those things, we must strike a balance in relation to that, because how else will we create jobs if we allow everything that are being caught, harvested, is exported. But the assistance, the guidance, those things are indeed welcome. I was just reading now through the MOU with India, and this is a bit of a worrying aspect.
Mr. Chairperson, I just want to check with you. There are two more presentations to be done. Are we going to interact with them, or can I ask questions on them now? Or are we not going to get those presentations? I just wanted to make sure, because I have questions on them.
If we don't have time, we still have another meeting to have them. But we cannot question without us listening to the presentation.
Chairperson, it makes it very difficult, because we have received the presentations in advance, and I did work through them, and I have some questions on them. So are we not going to deal with them today?
Which one? The 2020?
These two.
The FRAP one?
The FRAP one and the...
We're going on it now. Can finalize it. Allow them to present.
Can I ask questions on them?
No. Allow them to present first.
Okay. Then, on the... just as a follow-up on what the DDG said about the fish that they catch, and then the way that they catch them to get the best price. When you have the squid quotas, fish are frozen at sea on big ships, and that gives them the best quality. And I see on that 25% allocation is taken away from the quota holders and then moved over to small scale on page 7. And so I just wanted to know, was there an analysis on how many jobs would be lost versus how many new people will be earning money of that quota, and will the quality of that fish get that good price that the industry is getting at the moment? And then also on the allocation of quotas. With the last round of quota allocation, I think that a lot was reserved for the small-scale fishing policy to be accommodated. But a lot of that quota was not allocated and not caught. Is there a way that we can assist in the short term? You know, because if the people that are catching the quota at the moment and the small-scale, they come from the same community. Is there a way that we can accommodate those people that are in the community with those that are not allocated for an interim, for just for this period, so that they are not as hard hit as what they would be if they lose half of their quota? I was just wondering about that. And then, and I want to come back to a detailed financial set of analytics on how cooperatives will earn income based on available stocks and fish resources in their respective areas. I think it's very important that we get something like that. Surely you must have looked into the basket of goods, which are all different things in different provinces, and how, if it will be sustainable. I mean, you can have 500 people in a cooperative. They are very positive. They start catching fish, and in the end, they are not making money. It's costing them money. How is that going to work? Have we done those studies? I mean, it will not work then. And we want this to work. I mean, we really want. I mean, we've been working for it for a long time. We've been working very hard on it. So we want to make sure it does work. And if that cooperative don't make money, how will we assist them to then go further and go into profit? I mean, you are working with fishermen. I'm not saying that fishermen are not educated or anything. It is that it's the people are not financial geniuses to work out these economies of scale and everything of that. They know how to catch fish. How to make the money is where we come in, or the department comes in to assist them. And if we don't assist them, they won't be making money. They will just be fighting underneath each other to share the spoils, and we need to get this right the first time. We can't let this slip up. Thank you.
Okay, can we quickly respond to those issues? Director for Small Scale Fishery.
Okay, thank you very much. Looking at Honorable Van Dalen's question regarding the issue of squid, I think this also relates to other species as well. Most definitely we need to have a cost-benefit analysis for each and every basket that is there. But as much as we have not done it to detail, but we have done some work on it, but from our analysis what we see is that, as I've indicated, the most important thing is the value addition, which boils down to availability of infrastructure and processing and access to the right markets, because we can give them any amount of tonnage of lobster, for an example, but if they don't have access to the proper markets and also access to the proper processing facilities, then they are still not going to make money. So from our side, that's what we want to focus on and be able to, because in South Africa we only have 22 fisheries, but there are so many species out there that are low-valued species. They are low-valued species not because they don't have any potential to be high-valued species, but it's because we are not focusing on them. A typical example of that species is the East Coast Rock Lobster as well. East Coast Rock Lobster can have a higher value than West Coast Rock Lobster, but it depends on how we implement it or how we introduce it to the market. Mussels as well and oysters as well, we might see them as species that are not regarded, but other countries they are delicacies and we need to develop those. Hence I was talking about the issue of telling the story behind the product coming from South African small scale fishers, but all of that will evolve around how are we going to support them post rights allocation. When they have the fish, what are they going to do with it? And then also the issue of taking an allocation that was earmarked for small scale and maybe cushioning interim relief fishers, if I got that correctly. The tricky thing to that is that for each and every year we have to determine a total allowable catch or a total allowable effort in terms of Section 14 of the Marine Living Resources Act. So what was set aside in terms of that section of the Act the previous year might not be the same as what we would set aside now in terms of Section 14. So it might be difficult in that regard. And also over and above that, once we take an allocation that has been earmarked for small scale and we give it to another group, we are running a risk of whereby when the cooperatives are ready to receive the rights, they won't be able to access that resource because it has been committed to another category of fishers. And then how will cooperatives and I think what we might have to do from our side as the department, we need to come up with a generic business model of cooperatives. We do have something of that nature, but I think we need something that is concrete to say this is the business flow of the cooperatives in general, and then each cooperative will custom make that according to their needs and also according to the type of resources that they have. What's nice about this is that we had done a problem analysis and an objective analysis of the cooperatives in South Africa. The problem analysis, the core problem was that the reality is that there's a high probability that these cooperatives are going to fail. And the probability of that is because of three main things. One, the issue of access to high-valued species. That's one contributing factor that can cause the high probability of cooperatives to fail. Two, it's the issue of capacity. Capacity in a form of literacy levels, capacity in a form of them being price takers. Those are the two main things. And then the last big thing that can cause these cooperatives to fail is the lack of cohesion in communities. Lack of cohesion in communities whereby people are fighting in communities. So out of that grim picture that we identified, we came up with an objective analysis which is countering specifically all those issues. So all the support programs that we have identified are feeding into the objective analysis whereby at the end of the day we will have high probability of cooperatives being able to sustain themselves during the duration of the 15-year fishing right. So what we might need to do is to give more flesh to those objective probabilities that we came up with in order for maybe to, for us to have a comprehensive report in order for the House to get a better understanding of our thinking around small-scale fisheries in South Africa. Yeah, I think that's all from my side. I'm not sure if I've left anything behind. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. On the issue of the split, 75-25% proposed for the split, Ms. Middleton will deal with that when she makes the presentation on the front. On the issue of unutilized catches that can be used, it's a brilliant idea. It could have been done. However, the WWF court case presents a problem, a legal problem, if we were to do that. And unfortunately, I can't talk much about that because it's a matter of judicial. However, I could say if that was not there, it would have been easy to go that route. But fortunately, the minister has taken the decision to appeal that issue. So we think it can be done. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can we then, with the minutes that we have, we allow them to present the update on the FRAP 2020? But what is important as we summarize the small scale fishery is for, by the way, we have been dealing with comprehensive support for producers. And we've been saying it should include the fishery and forestry. If did you remember when we're dealing with the police, it's very important to put that in a holistic manner such that all the small producers that we support, they benefit out of the police. And including the financial, integrated financial model that we've been speaking about. It should actually accommodate all the small conditions.
Chair, it's just a question. Apologies for my late coming. I was how long is this presentation going to take? Because I wouldn't want us to rush through it. I suppose that you would have explained to members that at least latest you must be out of here by 5 to 11. And it's only 20 to 11. So I'm not sure, because I was saying if it's going to take longer than 10 minutes or 15 minutes, we might as well postpone it to next Tuesday and have a fruitful discussion on the report. But if in your opinion as a presenter that it might take less than 10 minutes and give members an opportunity to interact with it, I don't have a problem. But we are pressed with time.
Okay. No, I thought we had the presentation before. This is just an update. How far are they in terms of the process? And I don't think it should take more than 10 minutes. Because it is just an update.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members, Minister, DM, DG. Also acknowledge our colleagues from industry who are in attendance. Chairperson, being mindful of time, and given that we have on a regular basis provided a progress update, I'm going to skip a number of slides, if that's acceptable. I'm going to assume that everybody is familiar with the background. So in terms of the presentation outline, I'm going to skip that, acronyms, the background, and I'm going to come to slide 6, which is the start of the update on where we are with the FRAP 2015-16 appeals process, which is running concurrently to our preparations for FRAP 2020. So in terms of where we are with appeals, the second bullet indicates that we finalized the appeals in large pelagics, Patagonian toothfish, seaweed, netfish, KZN beach seine, West Coast rock lobster offshore, West Coast rock lobster nearshore, and fish processing establishments. So what's outstanding in terms of the appeals process for FRAP 15 and 16 are basically the hake inshore trawl and the horse mackerel fisheries. In terms of the hake inshore trawl, appeals have been received from Category B and Category C appellants. Just to remind members that Category B appellants are those appellants who did not previously have rights in the hake inshore trawl fishery, but who had rights in other fisheries. And Category C appellants are those appellants who are new entrants, basically, to fisheries in general. As members are aware, the hake inshore trawl rights allocation process has been the subject of a court case. And in terms of that court order, we are dealing with the Category B's and C's, and we are at an advanced stage, and we hoping that the minister will be able to sign off on the Hague inshore trawl appeals by the end of November 2018. In terms of the horse mackerel, the appeals team have started processing those. We had hoped that they would be concluded by the end of November, but it looks like that is going to run into December 2018 before they'll be finalized. Then I want to just dwell a little bit on slide 7. Now we're moving on to FRAP 2020. In terms of the fisheries that are due for reallocation in 2020, there are 12 of them. The first 8 on that slide are those fisheries that were allocated in 2005 for 8 years, again in 2013 for 7 years, and which now expire on the 31st of December 2020. And then those, the numbers 9 to 12, the 4 of them, those are fisheries, the 4 fisheries that were allocated in 2005 for a period of 15 years and which are due to expire in December 2020. So all in all, there are 12 fisheries that are theoretically due for reallocation in 2020. Of those 12, 5 are also eligible for small scale. And those 5 that are eligible for small scale are those ones that are indicated in red. Okay. The first one is hake handline, the second one is lionfish, the third one is white mussels, the fourth is oysters, and the fifth one is squid. And what we've done as a department is, at the request of role players, we are proposing an upfront apportionment split between small scale and commercial. And I have to stress that these are proposals at the moment. It's not done and dusted. It's, these will be subjected to an intense public consultation process. So members of the public, members of the portfolio committee still have time to input and comment on these apportionment splits. But what is on the table at the moment is that Hakehand line will go 100% to small scale. Line fish, at the moment, we are proposing at least a 50-50% split between commercial and small scale. And when we say at least 50-50, what we mean by that is we're still waiting to finalize the numbers of small-scale fishes in the Western Cape. Once we know the Western Cape small-scale numbers, we'll be able to better determine a 50-50 or maybe slightly more to small-scale. White mussels, 100% to small-scale. Oysters, 100% to small-scale. And squid, what we're proposing is a 75% to commercial, 25% to small-scale. This is a recommendation. We've already received some comment from industry on this, which we will take into account. But the thinking behind this is that there are a lot of small-scale fishers who are currently crew on the squid boats who potentially could, with assistance, become successful in this fishery. We also have to acknowledge that the squid fishery is basically an Eastern Cape fishery, located between Port Elizabeth and where's it, St. Francis Bay, Jeffreys Bay, that area, and that, as we've already said in the small scale presentation, that the Eastern Cape basket of species is thinner than in the Western Cape, so we see squid as a potentially important resource to add to the basket. Moving on to the next slide. This is just to indicate which policies will be reviewed as part of the GRAP 2020 process. The first one is the general policy on the allocation of fishing rights. My apologies, there's a typo. It shouldn't be transfer, it should be allocation of fishing rights. The 12 sector-specific policies, which are mentioned in the previous slide, the transfer policy, and the fish processing establishment policy. In addition to those policies, we will also, as part of the public consultation process, be reviewing the FRAP application fees, the FRAP grant of right fees, and all permitting, licensing, and harbour fees, as well as levies that are paid on fish landed. Just for members' information, we have not adjusted levies for a number of years, at least the last 8 years, and they are due for review. So as you can see, the review of policies, fees, and application forms for FRAP 2020 is a big process. In terms of our preparations, the first thing there on slide 9 is that we are in the process of establishing the Consultative Advisory Forum, the CAF, and the Fisheries Transformation Council, the FTC, which we hope the Minister will be able to announce shortly. He has called for nominations for both these committees. He has identified the potential five members of the FTC. What is outstanding is the concurrent agreement of the Minister of of Finance around the payment of the reimbursement, the fees for these members, which is also at an advanced stage for the CAF. For the FTC, my apologies. In terms of the the readiness for 2020. I've reported previously that we have done an internal review process of the lessons learned, the gaps, the weaknesses, the mistakes we made in FAP 15, which we are feeding into our preparation for 2020. We've already mentioned the apportionment of the split between commercial and small scale. And then in terms of the review of the policies and the application forms, before I get questions, and I'm anticipating from the Honourable Fadala, I think when we last presented to the Portfolio Committee in November 2017, we had hoped by this time we would be ready with the first draft of the reviewed policies. We need to acknowledge that we are running behind time in terms of our original time frames. And the reason for that is that we have had to conduct a SEERS process. The SEERS stands for the Socioeconomic Impact Assessment, which is a requirement of the DPME. We have done, and that has put us behind in terms of reviewing the policies. So we have had to adjust our timeframes, which I'll speak to in a moment. But in terms of the SEER process, we have conducted phase one of the SEERs. We've submitted those the questionnaire to the Department of DPME, and we are waiting their certification. In the meantime, we have started the internal review process where the policy teams are meeting. They're meeting as we speak at the moment. They will come up with a draft that we will take up for public consultation. As we've had to adjust our roadmap because of the delays caused by the SEERs, and we did that last week. We've adjusted the time frames. Other progress, we've already appointed that, mentioned that the Minister has appointed the Deputy Director General of Fisheries Management as the delegated authority for FRAP 2020. Our challenges, and I think this is common to both FRAP and the small scale, is the main challenge. The biggest challenge is a capacity challenge. We have a moratorium on the filling of vacancies. We do not have a dedicated rights allocation process, so all of us involved in FRAP are doing it on top of our other normal day-to-day jobs. We simply, we are facing capacity problems. To deal with this, the department has generated a submission to appoint FRAP staff on short-term contracts. There's presently a submission waiting approval to extend these contracts for a 3-year period, and to do that we require the support of the Minister of Public Administration. We are hoping that these 20 contract posts will be approved for a 3-year period, and those 20 contract posts will be shared between FRAP and small scale. So that the approval of those contract posts for us is a critical milestone. We have approached the state attorney for the appointment of 3 legal counsel who will be assisting with the legal aspects of the FRAP process, and that support has been obtained from the state attorney. Obviously, as we did in the previous FRAP processes, we will call for volunteers from inside the department for those phases of the FRAP process that are intensive and that require a lot of staff to assist, and those include the public consultations, distribution and receipting. And we will hopefully also be appointing process observers, stroke monitors to just observe the independent process observers who will observe the PrEP process. The last slide kind of deals with the roadmap, which, as I mentioned, was recently adjusted in the week. We are currently at phase four, which is reviewing the policies, the application forms, and the fees. And that work has started and will run until February 2019. So we hope to have the draft policies ready by February. They will then be subjected to legal vetting before we can gazette them for public comment. We anticipate that the consultations will start around May and July 2019. It's our contention that if we take time to get the policies right, the application forms and the fees, and we spend time on the public consultation process, then the other phases of the process should fall into place and be less controversial. So in terms of the new time frames, we intend to gazette the final policies in September, and we would thereafter open the application process in September 2019 with a view to closing the applications in November-December 2019. This time we are looking at online applications, which should also shorten the process. We'll do verifications of applications in December, and assessments will start in January 2020, running until June. We'll announce the provisional lists in June 2020.
I think we can see the allocation phase.
Okay,
let's just close it there because we don't have time. 5 to 11. Next week Tuesday we'll come back for discussion and deal with the working for fishery document. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.